I've never seen a face like yours. Not among Jubei of Tamachi's crew. I won't be another meal for your kind. If you want to take me, then call Jubei himself. Big brother, your spirit burns bright. Han Shichi sneered back softly. Come on, just come along quietly, no matter what. Don't be foolish. Denmacho awaits, and for me, it's the final bath. I won't be caught by some petty officer like you. You're aiming for a peacock with a humble stick. But your target is a bit off. If you want to bind me, bring a proper jitte and a strong rope. His spirit was fiercely strong. Han Shichi found himself at a loss. Now, it seemed, a messy struggle was the only path left to take. The melting snow made it tricky, he knew. But catching one lone wanderer by hand wasn't too hard. He resolved to take him by force, pulling him along. Hey, Tora. I truly dislike making a scene with a petty laborer like you, but if I show mercy, it will never end. I carry an official jitte, but I'll show it to you after you're bound. Now come quietly. Han Shichi stepped closer, but Toramatsu recoiled, his hand slipping into his robe, to draw a blade against an okapiki. That is the mark of an amateur. Han Shichi quickly judged him, thinking him less formidable than his words. But an amateur's unpredictability can be dangerous. So he let out a shout, hoping to strike fear. Toramatsu, it's official business. Behave yourself now. Just then, someone crept behind him, hands gently covering his eyes. Startled, he faltered. But the soft touch told him instantly it was a woman's hand. It was Otoki, he knew, without a shadow of a doubt. He dropped his shoulder, seizing her arm, then flung her over his foot. As she fell, Toramatsu lunged. A dagger's cold gleam shone in his hand. This is official business, Han Shichi barked once more. Toramatsu's blade cut the air a few times. As his body swayed, the dagger was struck from his hand. A rope already cinched his left wrist. Realizing his foe was no ordinary man, he let out a sudden, weak whisper. Boss, I deeply apologize for not recognizing you for all this trouble. Please forgive me. Now that it's come to this, I'll tell you. I am Han Shichi of Kanda, he announced his name. Nothing can be settled out here in the street. Hey, Otoki, you're involved too. Lead me to your master's house. He led Otoki, rising from the mud, and the bound Toramatsu into Tatsuyoshi's villa. From the back, a young maid rushed out, her cries echoing. The young master and the Oiren, Tatsuyoshi's son and Tajisode, behind a reversed screen in the eight-mat room, had both ended their lives with razors to their throats. Even I was truly stunned at that moment, the old Han Shichi confessed. Yes, Otoki had spoken of a lover's suicide, but I never imagined it would happen so soon. With two people bound on one side and two bodies to inspect on the other, Tatsuyoshi's villa was in pure chaos. Rumors spread like wildfire, and the gates were swarmed with people until deep into the night. Why did Tatsuyoshi's son and Tagasode take their lives? And does it connect somehow to Otoki and Toramatsu? I still couldn't grasp the reason, not at all. Old Han Shichi then began to explain it all in greater detail. That woman, Tagasode, committed a murder. She was the one who killed Okin, the fortune teller's daughter. Why did she do it? As I told you before, Tagasode was deeply involved with Aitaro, her master's son, not for money or deceit, but because she was truly, deeply in love with him. Then, by some twist of fate, Aitaro became involved with a renowned fortune teller's daughter. Tagasode, hearing this, was filled with bitter regret. A woman in that line of work feels jealousy twice as intensely. A truly terrifying thing. She instructed a friendly go-between to force Okin into the villa late one night, as she returned from the pleasure quarter. After pouring out all her resentment, she did something truly terrible. After blows and scratches, she finally strangled Okin to death with her own thin cord. The go-between, Otoki, was surprised at first, never expecting such a grim turn of events. But Otoki was quite resourceful, and she had a long-standing affair with Okin's elder brother, a playboy named Toramatsu. What a strange, tangled fate. And so Okin, knowing Otoki from before, was carelessly drawn into Tatsuyoshi's villa, meeting her tragic fate. Otoki, in a rush, called her brother Toramatsu. She laid bare her soul, seeking counsel on the tangled mess. Toramatsu was startled, yes, but deep down, his heart was dark. It was his lover's wish, he heard, a secret stash of gold, if they kept it quiet. So he agreed. No thought of vengeance for his sister. Beneath the dorm floor, they dug a deep, silent grave. Okin's body was softly laid to rest. Everyone wore a mask of innocence. 100 ryo, a hefty sum, passed. From Otoki's hand to Toramatsu's, a silent promise. Where did that money truly come from? I asked, probing deep for truth. That money, old man Hanshichi began, flowed from Aitaro's own hand. The next day, Tagasoda called Aitaro, confessing honestly. I killed Okin out of sheer frustration. If you find fault, she pleaded, kneeling, then do as you must. Aitaro, they say, turned pale and trembled. Yet he knew his own guilt. A scandal like this would tarnish the Tatsumi Ise name. So, swayed by Tagasoda, he agreed to pay the 100 ryo. Like ill-gotten gains that never stay, Toramatsu squandered the 100 ryo in a gambling den. A fight broke out. He wounded a man, forced to flee the land he knew. Still, perhaps a flicker of conscience, or just a brother's silent bond moved him. With what little money remained, he sought out their family temple, a place unseen for too long. He offered 5 ryo, a quiet prayer for his sister's repose. Then he fled to Soka's rural quiet, hiding for a moon, but an Edo soul can't live on husks and barley. Secretly, he drifted back to the city, extorting meager coins from Otoki, wandering the streets. He caught the eye of Tamachi's Jubei. Their illicit love was laid bare. Jubei, seeing it was his domain, pitied Tatsumi Ise. Finding fault would be too cruel. He quietly advised them to let her go swiftly. But his kindness, in a cruel twist, became a bitter enemy. Otoki, she didn't just walk away, did she? Quietly? Never! She held Aitaro and Tagasoda by their throats, their deepest fears. She vowed she wouldn't leave without a hefty sum, 200, maybe 300 ryo, relentlessly pressing them. Aitaro, a Mera resident, had no such fortune. Tagasoda, bled dry by Otoki countless times, couldn't scrape another coin, even if she tore her own skin. Both were utterly broken, their spirits worn thin. Tatsumi Ise's mother, innocent to it all, feared scandal above anything. She just wanted Otoki gone, as swiftly as a fleeting dream. Otoki, with her lover Toramatsu as her shadow, warned them. If they wouldn't bend, she'd whisper Okin's murder to the winds, twisting the knife in Aitaro and Tagasoda's hidden fears. Trapped, with no way out, Tagasoda made a somber choice, to end it all with Aitaro. Otoki, sensing their despair, knew a double suicide meant she'd gain nothing, so she fueled Toramatsu's ambition, aiming to seat him at Tatsumi Ise's ledger. But before it unfolded, I stepped in, pulling back the curtain on their play. Tagasoda was a lost soul. Perhaps a shared death would have brought her peace. But Aitaro surely wouldn't have faced the executioner. My intervention, I regret, came a step too soon, in a way, for him. The dormitory's hidden truth, at last, was brought to light. Yet, a single shadow of doubt remained, a whisper in my heart. So this masseur, Tokuju, he was truly unaware of everything. Tokuju, a man of simple honesty, seemed to know nothing beyond carrying Tagasoda's messages, a mere shadow in her tangled web. Why then did Tokuju dread going to Tatsumi Ise's dorm so much? How did he, a blind man, sense something sitting beside Tagasoda with his keen, unseeing eyes? Ah, that I cannot say. Such intricate reasonings. Perhaps you gentlemen understand them best. Beneath Tatsumi Ise's dorm, beneath the very floorboards, Okin's silent body lay buried. Old man Hanshichi offered no more words, no further light on the darkness. To title this tale Spring Thaw was simply my echo of Old Man Hanshichi's way, a borrowed phrase. Yet the truth felt darker, more terrifying, than any simple love story, like that of Naozumurai and Michitose.